We would like to thank Karen and Jacob Levis for sponsoring this morning's vlog. Similar to Lahilu and Ishmael, Sheikh's 12 parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leibas Avram, and Karen's brother Yoshua ben Shimon, Yodah and Neshamos, should have an Aliyah. We are doing a new topic, but it's actually the same Mishnah that we did when we left off last time. The second half of Mishnah 13 in chapter 4 is not really related to the first half, although some commentators make that connection, but it is in truth a totally new topic. So we're going to be talking about different crowns, perhaps a concept that people have encountered before. Let's read the Mishnah. As we read the Mishnah, let's think about various questions that we've been analyzing other Mishnayos with so we can get a head start to what the commentators are going to be dealing with. So the Mishnah states as follows. Chapter 4, Mishnah 13, source number 1. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, Shlosha Ksarim Heim. There are three crowns. Keser Torah, the Keser Kahuna, the Keser Malchus. The crown of Torah, the crown of priesthood, and the crown of royalty. The Keser Shem Tov Ola Al Gabehen. And the crown of a good name, Keser Shem Tov, supersedes them all. So let's start with some questions. What questions pop up to you right away?
Four.
Right. So we start off by saying there are three crowns. And it's one thing, even if it didn't say that there were four crowns, even if it says there are three crowns, we would have asked, why are you telling me there are three crowns? I could just read that there are three crowns. And so sometimes we ask the question to various Mishnayos, and regular Mishnayos, not just Perkei Avos, ask, why are you giving me a number if you are then just listing out? I know how to count to three. It's not so difficult. Like the Mishnah in Kedushin, the first Mishnah in Kedushin deals with this as well. Right? You say three ways to be Mekadesh in Isha, and then you tell me the three ways. Minyan Olam. Why are you giving me a number if it just, I can easily read it? But that's not even the big question. The big question is you tell me three, and then you list four. So that's question, the biggest, most glaring question that comes up. Anything else pop up?
What's a keser?
What's a keser? So what does it mean? There's obviously a metaphor here of something being a crown. What does that metaphor actually mean? Okay, that's a good question. Anything else pop up when you read these Mishnayos? Okay, good. Say it louder. Right. So Keter Torah is not as good as a Keter Shem Tov, right? So obviously we have to understand what these things are. I would have thought, my gut reaction, would be Torah would be the greatest. You can't get better than Torah. You're telling me that the Keser, whatever that means, of a Shem Tov is better than a Keser Torah? I'm going to have a problem with that. At the very least, you're going to have to explain to me really what the main question is what do all these things mean? Not just what is a Keser, what is a Keser Torah mean? What does that mean to have a Keser Torah? What is a Keser? What is Shem Tov? What does that mean to have a, okay, good name. What does that literal? What does that mean? What are you trying to tell me? And then why is it better than the rest? And then perhaps you can ask another question, is that you're telling me that Keser Shem Tov is better than Keser Torah and Keser Kuna and Keser Malchus. You're already introducing the concept of a hierarchy of what's better than something else. So I can ask even further, within the first three, is there a hierarchy? So you're telling me Keser Torah, Keser Malchus, Keser Kahuna is one of those better than the other, and then what's the relationship between all of these together? So we have a bunch of questions to start out with. Mainly, what in the world is this Mishnah trying to teach us? Which is, I guess, another way of phrasing, even if we understand all of this, what's the message? Are you just giving me information? This is a hierarchy of crowns. What's the practical lesson that you want me to take away, maybe to work on? Is this something that I should be, or just giving me facts, right? So let's jump in. So source number two is going to give us a little bit more background. There's a parallel Gemara that relates to similar topics that the Mishnah deals with, and most of the Mefarshim reference this Gemara. So let's see source number two. The Gemara is the Gemara Yuma 72b. You have the Aramaic on the right-hand side. The left-hand side is taken from Sfaria, the English translation. The bold, as we've mentioned in the past, is a direct translation. The unbolded in the English is the commentary that tries to fill in the gaps to help us understand the Gemara better. So the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shlosha Zirim Heim. Shal Mizbeach, v'shal Aron, v'shal Shulchan. So there are three zir here translated as crowns. So we actually have it direct. One's called keser, one's called zir. There are three crowns. Here, it's not in relation to Torah, Kahuna, and Malchus, but rather the three crowns are the altar, the ark, and the table, all vessels in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple. So what are these three? So the Gemara continues, Shel Mizbeach Zacha Aaron. So Mizbeach, the altar, Aaron, and his children are the ones who merited that, v'natlu, and they took it. So now we're saying that there is a keser, there's a crown, but then there's something that has to be done to this crown. It has to be taken. It's an opportunity, but it's not a gift that just comes to you. It's a gift that you have to seize. So Aaron took this crown of Mizbeach. The second one is Shel Shulchan, the table, Zacha David. David merited the crown of the Shulchan, Vinatlu, and he took it. Shel Aaron, the crown of the Aaron, the ark, Adayin Munachu. Nobody took it. It's there for the taking. Kol harotze likach yavo v'yikach. Whoever wants to seize the crown of the Aaron, of the ark, and what do you think the Aaron is symbolizing here? Torah, because that's where the Torah, the Luchos were kept, right? And then just to be clear, if it wasn't clear, I didn't state it. The Mizbeach being of Aaron HaKohen, what's the Mizbeach symbolizing? Korbanos and Kahuna, right? And as well as the David gets the Shulchan, which is the Malchus. Okay, so each one's parallel to this Gemara, but we're told that the Torah parallel, anybody can come and take. And then the Gemara finishes off, Shema Tomar Pachosu. Maybe you would think that if I'm telling you that anybody can take it, maybe it's less than, it's not so great. So the Gemara answers, Tamal Lomar, Bi Malachim Yimlochu, that it is through this one, it is through the crown of Torah, that kings will reign. So the crown of Torah, at least in this hierarchy, nothing about Shem Tov in this Gemara, but in terms of the first three that we see in our Mishnah, Torah supersedes the Kahuna and the Malchus. And we're also told that you can't just, even the people like David and Aaron, who are given the Keser or the Zir, they have to actually take it. It's not a gift that just comes to them. They have to seize it. And for Torah, it's open for everyone. Yeah, Freddie.
I was going to say, the three crowns of Torah, the priesthood and royalty, are basically derived strictly right from the Torah, like from the sons of Jacob. When it comes down to the idea of a good name, it's which each individual can create for himself, while the others are basically beyond the
Okay, so I'm just gonna repeat for those who didn't hear and then question. So you're saying that from our Mishnah, the first three sort of just are inherited. They're
when he talks about the offspring of Jacob, you know that
right. But the problem with that is that you're going to confuse yourself. Why? Because you're saying in our Mishnah it says Keser Torah, Keser Kahuna, Keser Malchus. And then you're saying Keser Shem Tov is for everybody. But the Gemara seems to make clear that Keser Torah is also for everybody. So you might want to distinguish between Keser Malchus and Keser Kahuna, which aren't for everybody, versus Keser Torah and Keser Shem Tov, which in theory can be for everybody.
How you apply the examples of Torah onto yourself.
Okay, so now you're linking Keser Torah and Keser Shem Tov together, which is good. Now we're going to lead with that as we keep going. It's part of that same question of what's the dynamic here? What's the relationship between these different crowns? And specifically, now that we see a little bit more, that Keser Torah is something that's sort of universal, it's something that everybody can get, and you want to make the argument that Keser Shem Tov is something that everyone can get. What's the relationship between Keser Torah and Keser Shem Tov? Are they the same thing? Are they different? Does one lead to the other? We have to understand that a little better. And then, as well as, what's the relationship between Keser Shem Tov with the Keser Kahuna and Keser Malchus? There's obviously a difference here between something that was given to a specific group of people, a line, a genetic line, if you will, and something that's universal that everybody can take. We want to sort of tease out what those distinctions are. Yeah, Joyce.
I saw it a little differently. Crazy, but the Jewish people were called the three, meaning Avraham, Kahuna, and Malchus, are seen in a more concrete way than the Shekinah. In their tied to something.
Okay, so the first three, Keser Torah, Keser Kuda, Keser Malchus, are concrete. There's something you can actively do to... They're connected to something. Keser Shem Tov is a little more abstract. Okay. So that, I mean, that just gets to the point that it might be clearer what they're talking about when we talk about Torah, Kuna, and Malchus, and it's a little bit less clear what we're talking about with Shem Tov. That could be, yeah? Okay, so maybe... Okay, so good. So now, excellent. We're really delving into, we're intuiting what the commentators are going to be dealing with here. In terms of Torah, now we could ask even on a deeper level. Is Torah learning of Torah? Is Torah performance of Torah? Is Torah character of Torah? Can we split between the character and the learning, the character and the performance, the learning and the performance, and what's that, how does that fit into Torah and Shem Tov? Good. One more, and then we're going to keep going. Maybe two more, yeah.
Maybe Keter Shem Tov applies to the first three. You should be perfect. Keter Malchut, Keter Kehuna, Keter Torah, whoever in them should be perfect. That's why it's going to be more important, most important, that you be so perfect that you have Keter Shem Tov.
Okay, so good. So Keter Shem Tov maybe doesn't mean, so it really gets down to what does Keter Shem Tov mean? You're saying Keter Shem Tov might be a completion, a perfection of the first three that are mentioned.
Yeah, they should have a good protection from what they are doing.
Okay, so whatever line you are in, make sure you do it, let's use the word perfectly like you said. Okay, great. Again, we're really intuiting what the commentators are going to say here. One more. Okay, Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah, good. Always good to keep that in mind, and we'll think about how that applies here as well. Zev, can you... Okay, quickly.
I have a problem with the passage in Yonah. The Mizbeach, Shulchan, Aron, they were all Kalim. Two of them, only Kohanim to touch. And the other one, only the Kohen Gadol, and only once a year. So how does it come to say that David took one of them? He wasn't even around when the Kalim were in the Kohen Gadol.
Right. Okay, so it's a great question, meaning if you want to seriously analyze the Gemara, you'll have to go through each one and analyze what the meaning is. For sure, it's talking about this, the deeper symbolism here, so I wouldn't focus on the too much of the literal sense of how can David actually take it. I think that's for sure, but I still think that your point is very important. We're not going to deal with it now because the Gemara is sort of a side point to bring in for our Mishnah. But if we were learning that Gemara inside, we would have to see the commentators there to see how they deal with it. Some of our commentators are gonna touch upon it a little bit, but let's keep that in mind as well. All right, so let's okay. Our one more question goes to five more.
Yeah. The third one is nobody gets to. Is this implying that nobody deserves to take it
then? No. No, so right. So the way I understand the Gemara is the Gemara is empowering us that it's in our power to take it, all of us to take it. I don't think it's saying that. I don't think it's a critique, unless maybe you could find somebody who says this, of that nobody learns, so no, it's there and sitting and embarrassed in the side, nobody wants to take it. I don't think that's what it's saying. I think it's saying that for Kahuna, I can't just decide I want to be a Kohen, right? For Malchus, I can't just decide I want to be Malchus. For Torah, I could decide that I want to be a Torah person, right? Whether it means learning or me, those, right?
The way it's written, it doesn't imply sharing, it more implies somebody deserves it.
Well, it's saying that I can go take it. It's available for everybody. That's how I'm reading it. Maybe there's other ways to read it. Okay, so let's look at Rashi. Source number three. Shlosha Ksarim Haim. Va'echad eino dome l'shnayim. It says, what, this is back to our Mishnah, so forget about the zirim of the Gemara. So va'echad eino dome l'shnayim. Lefi she'ein ha'shnayim shavim b'chol adam. She epshalo la'adam li'os kohen elim kein hu mizera kahuna. So this, I think, is what we, some of us were alluding to, is that the first two have nothing to do with the third. Meaning kahuna and malchus are genetic, as it were, or follow a line that you have to be in, or it's either you are or you aren't. You can't be a king unless you're ro'oi to be a king. Again, it's interesting to think about that from a pre-David to a post-David, you know, Shaul becoming king versus David, and then all of a sudden it goes through the line, and then you can't be the king unless you are of the line of David. So you can analyze this from a pre-David standpoint or a post-David standpoint. Let's just assume for now, once you are in the Davidic dynasty, then a non-Davidic person cannot become a king. Lekeser Torah, Efshlo b'chol mishiyasuk ba. But when it comes to Torah, anybody can take it. Anybody can take it. Kedamar Maria Gati Matzasi Tamin Lechach Gadol Kisser Shel Torah Mishnayim Halalu. So Rashi says, therefore, Torah is better than the other two. Notice how the Mishnah didn't say that. Our Mishnah, not the Gemara. The Gemara says Torah is better than the other two. Our Mishnah just lists the three, and then says Keser Shem Tov is better. So Rashi is saying that we have to be clear that Torah is different than Malchus and Kahuna, because those two you can't just pick up anymore. But Torah you can pick up, and then Rashi makes the comment that makes it better than the other two. Keep going. Next, same source in Rashi where it's bolded on the fourth line. The Keser Shem Tov Ola Al Gabeyem Shumishubach Mikulam Mi Shiyeshlo Shem Tov. So somebody who has a good name, that's better than Malchus, Kahuna, and Torah. Now Rashi is going to help us understand what does Keser Shem Tov mean, right? Shiyeshlo Shem Tov, he has a good name. Umaisim Tovim Nimsa'im Bo. You have good deeds. So Rashi all of a sudden is giving us an interpretation of what Shem Tov means. It means that I act nicely. Shenemar Tov Shem Yishem and Tov. Tov Shmam Shelchanan Yimishal Vazariah Shu Bali Maisim Tovim. Minyadav Abiyu Shenim Shechu B'Shem and Amishcha. Shrei Alalu Nisrafu V'Alalu Lo Nisrafu. So he quotes an idea that Chanan Yimishal Vazariah had a good name. They were good. They did good deeds. They did good actions. So they are greater than Nadav and Abiyu, who even though they had the kahuna, since they weren't known for their good deeds, wasn't as good. Rashi continues, Nusach Acher, V'simon L'shoshes K'sarim Elu. Now he references our the Gemara in Yuma. Elu Aaron D'chsibbe V'asis Lo Zer Zahav, Hainu Keser Torah. Zer Shulchan D'chsib V'asis Zer Zahav, Zek Keser Kahuna, Sh'akonim Zochem V'ocheles Alechem Sh'alav. So it comes to he's giving us a little bit of understanding of the symbolisms in the Gemara, that when it comes to the Aron, that's talking about Torah. When it comes to the Shulchan, that's talking about the Kahuna, because they eat from the Shulchan. And Zer Mizbeach Tefsibbe Basis Lo Zer Zahav, Hainu Dugma L'Kesser Malchus, Shekol Yisrael Mishubadim L'Mizbeach Uponim Alav. So that's a little bit of the symbolism there, is that everybody is subservient to the crowns of the Mizbeach. Zochem v'ochem, ponim alav v'hakrib korbanos dehu inyan melucha shakol v'ayin etzel. Everybody needs to go to the Mizbeach, to the altar, so just like everybody needs to go to the king, and everybody relies on the king, everybody relies on the altar. That's the symbolism of that according to Rashi. And now, we know what Keser Shem Tov is, and we know that it's greater, but Rashi elaborates in the last part of source number 3, the Keser Shem Tov, Kilomar al yedein hu ba im osek b'torah nimsa shem tov olav. So it is through the Torah that I get the Keser Shem Tov. So now he's describing the relationship between them. It is through Torah that I get the Keser Shem Tov. V'chein kohen hamuzar b'avodaso yatsa shem tov olav. Somebody, a kohen who is very careful with his service, he gets a shem tov through that. But a king who works through righteousness and justice, he gets the Shem Tov through that. So this is similar to what you were saying, is that each one, through what their job is, by doing it well, they then get the Shem Tov. So Shem Tov is greater, but it's not just greater. He's not saying greater. It's that you get the Shem Tov by doing whatever job you have well, as well as through Maisim Tovim. Those are two ways to get this Shem Tov. The Istim Mefarshi Al Gabeyan Al Kulam. So he says that it's, some say that Al Gabeyan means that it is on top of all of them. Below Nihira Dimkein Arba Ksarim Hem Yibayalek. So here's how Rashi deals with the three and the four. So Rashi's saying is that there aren't four, there are only three. And Al Gabeyan doesn't mean that it is a crown, that is an additional crown to have a Shem Tov. He's saying that the way to, that the Shem Tov is not its own crown. The Shem Tov is the way, is what you get by doing your crown well. Okay, so it's like the A plus of your crown is the Shem Tov. And that's why, according to Rashi, it's not an additional crown. There's only three crowns. But you do it well, you get the super crown, as it were, of a Keser Shem Tov. That's how Rashi understands the relationship between them. Al Gabeyan, yeah, you have to. It's dependent on. It is through these crowns that you get the Shem Tov. Okay, that's Rashi. Let's see the Meiri. The commentators on this Mishnah are generally very long. That's why the sheets are long. That's why Karen, you're getting a little bit nervous about the length of the sheets. But the sheets are long because the commentators are long. We're not going to necessarily read all of them inside. But let's see a little bit in the Meir. I think it's a very powerful point here. So he says, source number four, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shlosha Ksarim Heim. Omer Shlosha Ksarim Heim, Kulamar, Shem Chalukim Zemizeh, Shashnaim Einam Elam Mitzad HaYachas, Vema Kuhuna Ba'Malchus. So these are different from each other. The Kuhuna, as Rashi explained, the Kuhuna and the Malchus are biological or through lineage. She Efsha Lios Kohen Elim Kein Humizera Kuhuna. I can't be a Kohen unless I come from Kuhuna. Below Melech Elim Kein Nizera Malucha. About Keser Torah Munach L'chol Mishi Yishtad L'bo V'yis'amo B'Torah. And that's, so anybody who wants, who works hard, can get the Keser of Torah. And that's what the Gemara says, that we saw Keser Kuhuna Zacha Bo Aaron, Shemar B'Haisel Zarach Rav, Keser Machu Zacha Bo David, Shemar David Avdi Nasi Lahem, Leolam Keser Torah Munach B'Keren Zavis, Kol Arotza Yavo B'Yito, Shemar Roah Shakilas Yaakov. So now, so he just, so far he repeated. Let's skip a few lines here. I meant to outline where he starts, but I forgot. Okay, so he says here, venerally, it's go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the top. Second word on the line is Vav Nun Lamed, venerally. Everybody see it? Source number 4, 7th line, venerally. Venerally, Shiramas Bishmuazu, Al Hagimel Amilos Hachashubos Bemina Adam. So now he's going to tell us, what do these three symbolize? He thinks these symbolize the three most important traits that a person could have. What are the three most important traits that a person can have? So what you, you're not going to intuit what he's going to say. Mailas ha osher. It's not something that you would think that would come out of a rabbi's mouth here. But mailas ha osher, the Miri says, money. Money. Money is an important trait. Mailos ha chashubos. Money. Now, he might be saying that from a person's, from human perspective, money is important, but it might not be from a Torah perspective, but we'll see. We'll have to deal with this. Mailos ha osher, number one. Umailos ha Yachas. What's number two? Lineage. Yichus. And number three is Mailas Ha Yedia. Skip the parentheses of the Torah. Mailas Ha Yedia. Knowledge. Vizecher Al Mailas Ha Osher Keser Kahuna. Osher, money, is represented by Kahuna. Why? Ki Bo Ha Osher Ha Gadol. The Kohanim were rich. Halavai, Kohanim are rich. Why were the Kohanim rich? Shechol Tzorchem is in Oseim, Mitzuyim Lahem Bereba, Velopa Amo. Everybody supported them. Right? They didn't have to work. They just got money. Fine, that's Kahuna. Vizecher Lemailos Hayachas. What about lineage Yichus? Keser Malchus, Ki Rosh HaYichusim. It's the best lineage you can possibly have. Bezecher al mailas hayedia. What about knowledge? That's keser Torah. Ki mifchar yedios v'skulos hachachmos. That's the best. The best thing to the best knowledge is Torah. Okay, so those are our three awesome things to have. You have money, you have yichlus, you have knowledge. You're up there. So now, what's the message? V'remez shelo lehisgaos al achas mehem. So what's the point here? If you have one of these, don't think you're so special. Okay? These are things that are awesome. If you have it, don't be a balgaiva. Don't be haughty. Don't be arrogant. Oh, afilu bekula. Even if you have all three, don't think you're so awesome. Why? Shakol me'es hakel yisbarach. Everything is from God. Ukvar be'arti ki yotze bo b'mesh amar David. And I already explained similar in Tehillim. He says, ki lo memutzo memura v'lo midbar harim ki elokim shofet zeh yashpil v'zeh yarm. Everything's in God's hands. He can make you great. He can put you down. V'nirali shekara milas hayachas motze milashon ha-mitzosav mikedem mimei olam v'kara milas hayisron merav milashon rechil techas. Let's skip this for a second. Go to the a few lines down. The first word is afilu. So he says afilu l'mishiyeshlo shloshtam ki elokim shofet zeh yashpil v'zeh yarim kolomar. Vikra kabanalis asik babodaso bekiyum amitzos vachasadim umaisa hayosher. So what's the point? What's the message? So the message number one is if you have these, don't feel so special. Don't feel like it's so amazing. And you can be grateful for it, but remember that it all comes from God. It's not necessarily you, especially when it comes to lineage. What did you do? You were just born into it, right? You didn't do anything. So he says, so what's the message? So he says, the ikra kavana is that whatever your job is, whatever role you find yourself in, do it well. Do it well. V'lios arev b'maso matano achi emekubal etza abrios. Do it well that people look at you and say, wow, he's a good guy. She's a good girl. V'arev l'chol roav l'chol shomav achi echashvu kulam yachsu v'chachmasa v'oshro. So whatever you have, people are going to look at and say, wow, that's a good person. He's using or she's using your skills to the best of their ability. And that's what it's coming to teach us. That's why no matter what you have, no matter what gifts you have, intelligence, wealth, lineage, use it well so people appreciate it. And then that's what the meaning of Shem Tov is. When Shem Tov is that people are going to look at you and say, and that's why it's Al Gabeim, the Shem Tov Hu, Asmada Pulas Echasadim, Umaisa Yosher, Vekirish Hashem. It's basically how people are going to be looking at you, that you're doing the right thing, you're bringing Kiddush Hashem into the world, V'torasu Ba'flagas Midosav Anak Gosav Ka'om Ramzal, and that's what the message is, that people are going to be looking at you and say, great is this person, he's following Torah, representative of what God wants us to be doing. So it's basically, these are the things that you could have a milah for, you could have a benefit for, you could be awesome in these areas. Don't be about gaiva. Do your job well. Use your talents and your skills to the point where other people appreciate what you're doing, and that's the Keser Shem Tov. That's how the Meiri understands this Mishnah. I think it's a very powerful message about humility, and it's a very powerful message about how whatever we have, not to laud it or to be, you know, to show it off over other people. If our skills, no matter what those skills are being used where people are not happy with what we're doing, then we're not doing the Shem Tov, and that's the problem. Yes. Where do you think they got it from?
Because if we start out from the point of, if you are rich, if you are good looking, if you have whatever it is, that's great, but that's not something that defines who you are. It's not something that should define who you are. So what it's pointing out here, even if I have these wonderful things that the mission is talking about, of course, even if I have these wonderful things the mission is talking about, what's he saying that's new? That's not a guiding principle for us that we all know from the time.
Again, I think the answer is you know it because of these statements. I think that this is a chiddush, right? You could make the argument that God made me a Kohen because I'm awesome, right?
No, you couldn't. You can't make that argument. You have to
Well, people make it all the time, right? Think about money. I have money. I'm awesome. I'm smart. I'm awesome. You guys aren't. You guys are not as good. I mean, listen, people still do it, even though we have these statements. So, I mean, the message, I think, is important. I think that the point here, and he's obviously quoting other sources that prove this point, quoting Psukim and Tehillim, and he's quoting the other Gemara's messages we have seen in the past. This is the first time we've seen such a message, but still, I think there is a... It's not that this is... first of all, it doesn't have to be a Chiddush. It could be something that just needs emphasizing and reminding, but I do think that that's the point. That this is not something that's easy. It's not something that people just go with and accept. I think people struggle with this. Yeah, Barry.
If you take a little bit of a leap, you end up in a different direction. This is valid. So learn that the Mishnah Shloshim Svarim Ba'ol Lomay. You match these three up, right? Torah, Book, and Sadim. So the matchup with the Torah is clear. Voter matches up Kahuna, Mills and Sudden could match up with Malchus if the king is expected to decline in the Netherlands.
Right.
So now you end up with two things. First, you end up with one other Kiddush then. In a sense, all three Kesses are available to us. We could aspire to a Kesser of Avoda, or we could aspire to a Kesser of Malchus, greatness of Kesser, and certainly a Kesser of Torah.
Okay, I like it. So just to repeat, so Barry's saying that these might be comparable to Keser, to Torah Avodah Gemilas Chasadim. Torah is Torah, Avodah is Kahuna, Gemilas Chasadim is a Melech who, if the Melech does his job, his job is Gemilas Chasadim. So I really like that. I didn't see anybody who saw it, but it could be that I just missed it. If somebody did say it, it would be the Pirkei Moshe, who I quote here in source number 6. Unless I skipped over it, I don't think he makes that connection. But he's the one who we mentioned in the past basically ties all Mishnayos into that second Mishnah. So we'll, when we go through it, we'll pay more careful attention. But I'm pretty sure I didn't see him say it. And then, so then your point is, I like the point. The point is that if you take Keser Torah, Keser Malchus, and Keser Kahuna. Figuratively or metaphorically, then we all have the capacity to take the kahuna traits, as it were, with the symbolism of the kahuna, the symbolism of the malchus, and work on that. I like it. Even if nobody said it, we'll say it now. We'll quote you. Okay, so let's, Barry says this. So let's look at source number 5, and then we'll see the source we just quoted, 6. So source number 5 is the Yaibitz. I'm not going to look at it. We're not going to look at it inside just for the sake of time. But the Yaibitz quotes a few ideas that are similar to Rashi, just in terms of the relationship between the three Kessers and the Kesser Shem Tov. And the one thing that he adds that I think is an addition to anything we've seen until this point is the concept that the Kesser Shem Tov is, look at the fourth line from the bottom. So he says here, Arbuk Sarmim Elarotza Lomar Haosek Bitora Lishma Va Koin Anoig Bikunasa Lashem Shamayim Va Melech Bimalchuso Hare Kanakal Efa Mehem Shem Tov. So he understands that the Lishma, the Shem Tov is a Lishma, similar to what you were saying also, is that it's not perfect. He doesn't say perfection, but he says if I do it, it's the motivation behind it. So if I do the kahuna, if I do the malchus, if I do the Torah, Lishma, that's what Shem Tov is emblematic of. That's what it's symbolizing. So the so far we have Shem Tov could be that I do everything with good midos, as it were, with Maisim Tovim, and that's the Shem Tov. It's not a separate one, but it's Al-Gabei, Amrashi says, because it is through these that I get it. Or it could be that the Shem Tov is something along the lines of doing something Lishma, or doing something, as the Meiri said, doing something that people are going to look at and be sort of happy with, be appreciative of that I'm doing it. That's the Shem Tov. So it's the social aspect of these three concepts. So we have a few different explanations of that. So let's see the source number 6, Pirkei Moshe, new idea. So he says as follows. So the Nismach Lezem Maimer Rabbi Shimon Shomer Shosha Ksarim Hem Ha Mitziam Hashem Yisparach Latikun HaMaisim Asher Yiskalkulu Mitzad Kilkul HaMachshava V'Mamatikun Asher Yimshach Mitzad HaAdam Ba'atzmo V'Mitzvad Mishpat Sichlo Shmur HaShemos HaMachshava V'Kavan. So he's starting off by saying that what we're dealing with here is thoughts. It's how my kavanas, my motivations are. Hu ha'ola al roshei milamayla. That's going to be the most important part. Valkein lo nimna keser shem tov iman. That's why keser shem tov is not with them. Yan ushiko keneged kulam. Because it's really comparable or equal or the background to all of the other three. Uvilti nichnas biyachas imahem. But it's separate. Yan kulam him meishar melamaisa bilti ratzen apoal. Markesa shemtov hu mitave beratzen apoal. Shepoal atov b'mashu tov. Vidorish ha-shlemos la'asos lo k'shem ha-shlemim. So the reason why I'm reading this one is because this is exactly what you were saying. So it's a little bit hard because a lot of other concepts that he's throwing in here. But what he seems to be saying is that the Keser Shem Tov deals with Shlemos. It's that I do everything else with Shlemos is perfection. Right? So it's the perfecting of the other of the first three, and that's done through doing it with the right proper intentions, doing it lishma. So it's basically it's exactly what you're saying. It's the perfection of the first three. Let's 1 second. Okay, yeah, let's do the set in the next paragraph. This is another nice idea that comes out of this. Vira davar hazehu. So Torah, the goal of Torah is in order to guide us to fix all of the parts of our personality. So we want to get Torah, the goal of Torah is to get us to a point where we're perfecting ourselves, the wholeness of ourselves. So what's Keser Kahuna? So Barry, is actually what you were referencing a little bit. Shaya Oev Shalom Verodev Shalom. The Kahuna represents not necessarily avoda, but represents bringing peace between people. It's a social aspect. Oev Sabrios Mekarbim Al Shlemos Harishon Anichla B'Torah B'Nimser Sha Keser Hasheni B'Keser Kahuna Hayasibas Kiyam Harishon Shu Keser HaTorah. So the Kahuna, the symbolism of kahuna, which is bringing peace between social elements, actually is what leads people and guides people to a perfection of the Torah, which is a perfection of the total part of parts of self. The Kohanim's goal was to actually be teachers and to guide people to getting to the fullness of Torah. It was bringing people to the right place. Now he says in the next paragraph that the point of the Malchus symbolizes actually the punishments. I mean, the Malchus was there to sort of scare you, as it were, to following the rules, the ideas of justice. Right, let's read that first line. But I'm Keser Malchus who la'anish al over at Torah. As people who don't do the right thing, the Malchus was there to set you in line. So each one, he's saying the Keser Malchus and the Keser Kahuna both function as trying to get you to follow the Torah. The Kahuna is through the peace and the love and the increasing the sort of the social positive aspects, and the Malchus was there to bring punishment to those who didn't follow the Torah. So you basically need all of these in order to perfect the Torah. And then that's what then leads you to the final step, which is the Shem Tov, which is the Shlemos of all of these together. So a little bit complicated. I'm not sure I explained it perfectly. But the relation, what he added so far that we haven't seen, is that the Keser Shem Tov is a Shlemos. It's a perfection. It's doing things even each one of these things a little bit better. And then the other thing that he's adding here is the relationship between the Keser, Malchus, and Kahuna. They both function in order to increase the Keser Torah. And what he does do is add a symbolism to the Keser Kahuna and Keser Malchus that perhaps even if we're not a Kohen or a Melech, as Barry pointed out, there are things that we can learn as well. Okay, so let's take a second, because I think we're going to run out of time here, and play a little bit of source triage. So I think what we're going to do is we'll do one more. We're going to Let me show you a little bit. Go to the second page. I'm just going to show you what you can, in theory, look at on your own. And then we'll come back to the first page and finish off with source number 7. So source number 8 is the Maharal. And the Maharal says that these three represent three parts of the person. What are the three parts of the person? So he says Keser Torah represents, what do you think, which part of the person? The brain. The brain, Seichel, thinking. This is in the third line if you wanted to follow along in the Hebrew. Keser Kahuna, he says, is Keneged HaGuf, is the body, because the Kohen represents a biological lineage. You're just born into it. And then he says the Keser Malchus represents the Keser Malchus represents the Nefesh. Let me see where he says that. What line is it? So I really wanted to put underlines on the stuff that I wanted to get to, but I forgot to. Yeah, he said it's like 10 or 15 lines down after that. The Malchus, he said, yeah, it's like sort of in the middle, third word on the line after a period. It says, Am the Malchus is connected on Nefesh. So right, basically, just big picture, is that these three represent three different parts of our personalities. The Torah is the Seichel, the Kohen is the body, and the Malchus is the Nefesh, and how those sort of intertwine together in order to work towards our service of Hashem is something the Maharal elaborates on in source number 8. It's a nice source to look into. And then finally, source number 9 is the Shemi Shmuel, who is a commentator, a Hasidic commentator on the Chumash, where he brings this idea in Parshas Tetzaveh, ties it into the concepts related to the Mishkan, and builds off the Maharal to give a nice symbolism of what the significance of the menorah is. It's a very long piece. That's why I think we're just going to skip it for now. But for those who want to look in source number 9, it's a nice use of our Mishnah in his Torah commentary of Parshas Tetzaveh. Okay, look at source number 7 now, and we'll end off with the Medrash Shmuel, who's going to quote for us a few other opinions here. Look at source number 7. So the Medrash Shmuel says as follows. Hai deka fashev minyana, hu lefisha hayisi mona arba dekeser shem tov hu arvi. So he says that why is it, starting off with our first question, why are you telling me it's three if there's really four? So he says, the reason I'm telling you it's three is because you might have mistakenly thought that Keser Shem Tov was its own Keser. So therefore I have to go out of my way to tell you, no, there's only three. The fourth one is not its own. L'zeh omrim ki shloshehen. V'tulo, there's only three. So what is the fourth? Why are you saying four? K'rivi eino mizeh amin. K'deish yechashav imelu. It's totally separate. The fourth one, Shem Tov, is totally separate. V'zeh shekasav v'keser Shem Tov ola agabeh. Ve'eino mizeh suki hu chashav mikulam. It's a totally separate category, and it's he understands it as more important. Remember, Rashi says it's not more important, but it's through this that you get those. But he understands that Keser Shem Tov is more important. So that's point number one. Point number two, next paragraph. Ve'efshar od she'amar shesloshe k'sarim heim v'tulo l'fisha Keser Shem Tov hu im kulam ve'ola al gabehem. The other possibility is to say that Keser Shem, it's three, not more, because Keser Shem Tov is im kulam. Meaning it's part and parcel of each one, of Kahuna, of Malchus, of Torah. Va'ola gabeim she'echad min ha'shlosha im ein imo Shem Tov eino Keser. If you have one of these three without Shem Tov in it, then you don't have one of those three. Right? You can't have Keser Malchus unless you also have Keser Shem Tov. You can't have Keser Torah unless you also have Keser Shem Tov. The king Keser Kuno, Keser Malchus, below Shem Tov, Einam Ksarim. It's not considered a crown. Ki Ola Al Gabeyan, it's essential in order for that crown to be called a crown, you need this one. Elu Abeis Pirushim Pershu Gam Mefarshim, Umechlalam Haram Al Sakar. So he says that these we've seen in other Mefarshim, is that that's why it says four, it says three and not four, either because the fourth is completely separate, or because the fourth is actually part and parcel of each one of the three, and without it, you've got nothing. Which again is a powerful message, just in terms of related to the Meiri. These things on their own are meaningless. You could be a Kohen, you could have Torah, or you can be Malchus. If you don't have a Shem Tov with that, if people don't like you because of your behavior, if you don't have Meisim Tovim, it's meaningless. It's irrelevant. We don't really care about that. It's not a keser. It's not a crown. Third paragraph. The Efsher Ol Defarsh gives you another explanation. If you remember from last time we did the Medrash Shmuel, the whole shir was about the Medrash Shmuel. It gave, 14 different explanations as to what Shikagas Talmud was. And this, this is his style. He just gives you different explanations, but each one is very powerful. The Efsher Ol Defarsh. Shishmi'anu ki keser shem tov. I efsher la sigo im lo shetikadem v'adam keser echad me'elu hashlosh ha'ksarim. Another possibility is that in order to get a keser shem tov, you need to build with one of these others. You can't just be a good person. That's not a keser. You need to have some other keser in order to get the keser shem tov. V'zesh amar shlosh ha'ksarim heim. V'chulu, v'chaser shem tov lo mono oso, l'fi she'i efshar lo la'alos l'itzmoach elu al gabeyen, k'lamar achar she'i yisod musad v'adam echad me'elu aksarim, o kulam az ola v'tzomeach ha'chaser shem tov v'ola al gabo. You first need to have one of these three, and then you can get the chaser shem tov. It grows out from one of those three. K'ilu ha'chaser she'kadam hu nosa oso al gabo. The first chaser is holding up the Keser Shem Tov. Ki adea Torah kone Shem Tov. Uchen al yidei Keser Kahuna, v'chen Keser Malchus, hu siba liknos la'alos alav Keser Shem Tov. Ki biyose Moshe l'makshev al davar emes v'anav at tzedek kone Keser Shem Tov, al kein lo manu l'keser revi. The reason why Keser Shem Tov doesn't get its own counting is because the only way to get our Keser Shem Tov is through one of these three. It's through one of these three. Now, last one. The Efsher Od, ki lefi sheyesh shleimus chitzonius, kamo ha'osher, o ha'gvura, o ha'banim. Now this is related to what the Meiri said. Remember, the Meiri said that there are three types of statuses that you can have. You can have a status of wealth, you can have a status of lineage, you can have a status of Torah. So the Medrash Shmuel here says, there are lots of statuses. Status is a word? Statuses. There are shleimus chitzonius. There are external statuses that you can have. Kamo, like wealth, or power, or children. Lachain nakat minyana limute kol shar hadvarim. So he's saying there are three kesers in order to say those other three, those other five, those other 15, it doesn't, whatever those external ones are, like wealth, gvura, family, all of that is not part of the list. We don't care about wealth. We don't care about strength. We don't care about family. That's not what we're talking about here. Again, don't take it out of context. Right? Kol shar hadvarim. She'elu ha'shlosh hadvarim levad heim ksarim sheroi la'adam ha'hafter asatzmo. These are the three you should be worrying about. These are the three you should be caring about. Shim kana keser Torah, roi shiach shavu lo lekeser, v'yakum v'yatar lemezalzlem oso, ki kein amar zal kol tamar chacham, sheinu nokim v'noter kenachash, right? V'zal kavod keser a Torah ashu muhtar ba. He actually says something different than the Meiri. It's a alternative possibility here. He's saying, what does it mean to have a keser? What does it mean to have a crown? What does it mean? So the Meiri said, don't be a balgaiv about these things. He's saying something a little bit differently. Medrash Shmuel is saying, don't be a balgaiv, don't be arrogant. But there are things you can take pride in. There are things that you've accomplished that you can say, this is something I am proud of. Keser Torah is one of them. And if people come and say, and make fun of you, and say, you're nothing, you're a loser, you're studying, wasting your time learning Torah all day, you stand up and say, this is a keser. This is something I'm proud of. This is a keser Torah. Right? Bezel kavo keser haTorah, asher hu muhtar ba. V'chein keser kahuna. End of the third line. Same thing with kahuna. Roi she yachshuv oso l'keser. That's something I should be proud of. Ki hivdala okay, Yisrael so lahakirbo so elav, v'shemet mishchas elokav al rosha. It's something that I was chosen to be a Kohen. That's something I should be proud of. V'chein keser malchus, roi l'melch sheyachshav es atzmo kimelach, ki melch shemachal akvodu ein kvodu malchal. If you're a king, don't think of yourself as a nothing. You're a king. There is pride to that status. Now, again, I think the Meiri is still true, is that none of these things should be something that we become arrogant. The king has said you're not greater than your brethren, but in terms of the kahuna, there's status to the kahuna, and you should feel that status with that kahuna. Vim amar al agrapas amal sha'abram l'knei ha'kal v'shavu ha'chamim. Suas perek isha perek, please quoting Gemara to prove this, we'll forget about that for now. End of third to the line from the bottom. The keser shem tov al gabeyam, roi lach shivo im kano, ki ola al gabeyam v'chashav mikulam, k'sheyachshav oso b'chol yom b'yom, yosef ometz v'chozek lichno soto, v'tachlis hashlemos, ki kol dabar ha'chashav v'ein ha'adam, azu mislav l'sigo l'avo al tachliso. Very powerful statement. Very powerful. He's saying keser shem tov is even better than Torah, better than kuna, better than malchus. And he's saying, what does it mean to be a keser? What does it mean that it's a crown? It means be proud of this. If you're a good person and you have a... What? Right. It's not arrogant. He's saying don't be arrogant to think you're better than other people. It's not the point. But this is something you should take pride in and you should think about this. He says, "Yachshov oso b'chol yom v'yom." Think about it every day. I people like me. I'm a good person. I do good things. I have good actions. I learn Torah. I'm a Kohen. I'm a Melech, etc. It's if you do that, it's Yosef ometz v'chozek lichnos oto b'tachlis. If you're aware of your strength, if you're aware of that crown, that's gonna give you even more power, more momentum, more strength, because Kol davar, that last line is so powerful. It's an astute psychological point. Ki kol davar ha'chashav ein ha'adam. If it's something that's important to me, it's something that's powerful and beneficial to me. Azhu mislahiv lasigo lavo atachliso. Then I want to accomplish. I want to perfect it. I want to work on it. So keser shem tov. It's if you want to think about one thing to take away from this year, it's a lot of confusing and back and forth ideas going around. This idea, what's a keser shem tov? Keser shem tov is, you should think of it as a crown. You should be proud if you do good actions. You should be proud if people look up to you and say you're a good person. You should be proud if you learn Torah, and that pride, not arrogance, that pride serves the momentum to continue to try to perfect it. And by doing that, hopefully we can be zocha to get the keser shem tov, to work on our keser shem tov, to work on our keser Torah, as well as if you take keser kahuna and keser malchus, at least symbolically, to be able to work on those as well, to the extent that we keep that keser in our minds. If this is something I want to work to and I want to grab, it's there for me to take advantage of. It's a very powerful idea to motivate us to keep going.